Long day.
Yeah.
The most exciting day of the Trump trial we've heard thus far, but also still a little boring.
It's probably like, you know, 200 people or 180 people that are actually seeing this. There's probably only about 90 people in the room with us that are actually seeing everyone's reactions. It's very odd that, like, the whole country can't see this.
The good liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us.
So they're talking. She has now spanked him with the financial magazine with his picture on it. And she says she's going to go to the bathroom. She says they've had a couple large glasses of water.
Yes.
He doesn't drink. They weren't drinking. They weren't doing anything other than sitting around the dining table drinking water. She goes to the bathroom. And she admits here, nobody asked her to admit this, but she admits that she looks in one of the drawers or the medicine cabinet or something.
No, she looks in his DOP kit.
In his DOP kit.
His DOP kit's just there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And she sees Old Spice and Pert Plus.
And she was like, that's like, weird for a rich guy.
Yeah. She said she also saw sets of like golden like tweezers.
Tweezers. they so got to be gold. Yeah. Got to pluck my eyebrows with a golden tweezers, folks.
It was just it was a funny thing to admit. It was kind of like a humanizing moment in a way. Like, oh, we all might be kind of curious. But also it felt a little unnecessary to say she snooped. But she did. And then this is the big, not the big moment, but just kind of where things turned that night. She leaves the bathroom and Trump is now in boxers and like an undershirt laying on the bed, presumably intending to be seductive in some way. Mm. She says she went toward the door to leave and he kind of stood between her and the door. She was careful to say not physically threatening or verbally threatening, and that she did not try to leave and that she did not protest in any way to
bodyguard. His bodyguard was outside the door.
Right. She said that.
In the hallway.
Right.
Yeah.
And she said they proceeded to have sex. One of the moments that definitely was written about a lot was that one of the only like graphic moments at all. They were able to keep it relatively PG-13, but did he use a condom? No. And then she kind of said something that I guess is a little bit new to her telling of the story, is that they said, like, so what happened? And she said, well, she kind of blacked it out, but that it did not last very long. And then that she was, you know, certainly made it clear that she didn't feel good that it had happened.
At one point they asked, like, why didn't you tell him no? She said, because I didn't say anything at all.
That like stuck with me. I don't know. That was like the one line, the way she said it. I was like, oh, that is a...
It makes logical sense to be uncomfortable. It wasn't as if she was saying anything to make him feel that she was having a good time.
Right. Right.
And so she said she was kind of upset and putting on her clothes and getting out of there as quickly as she could. The next day
I gotta stop you
to say something. Yeah,
I was looking through my notes and you neglected to talk about the most important part of their conversation.
Lay it on me.
Professional wrestling. She asked, she said that she watched wrestling growing up.
She's from Louisiana, is that
Louisiana,
right?
Yeah.
She said it was a big deal there.
It's a big deal there. Hey, it's a big deal here, Brooklyn, New York, if you're in my house. And she talked to him about wrestling, about like the whole show of wrestling. And then when Trump was trying to like put on the charm, this is all her description of it, he said, like, I could get you on Apprentice. And she would say, like, I don't know about Apprentice. like, if I lose right away, they'll be like, oh, this lady who works in porn, like, lost right away. And if I win, like, you wouldn't let me win because of my background. And he was like, no, it's like wrestling. It's like a show. I could tell you what the challenges are going to be beforehand so you could excel at them. Basically saying he was going to rig his own reality show in her favor in this, like, complete bullshit thing that he was saying to presumably just try and sleep with her, that she was going to be the apprentice.
Story as old as time, it feels like. It's like this rich guy lying to this woman about opportunities he's going to give her. So over the next months and years, as I was kind of saying, there's these series of, like, face-to-face meetings or calls that he kind of, like, dangles this apprentice thing over and over again. And it's always like, you know, the first thing he said was that he had the power to make it happen, but she said it was always kind of a, I've reached out to someone, or I haven't reached out to this person yet, just kind of as if it was this, like, years-long game of, like, phone tag and just, you know, it'll happen when the right time comes. But, it, of course, it's never happening. Then in 2011, everything seems like it's set off by this In Touch, which is, like, kind of a tabloid magazine that is going to publish an article about their encounter, which she knows nothing about. So she's advised to take control of the story, make it her own, contact this place and tell her own story. Otherwise, someone else is going to tell it and she's not going to get paid for it and she's not going to have any control over the content of the story. And then there's the moment in the parking garage. Do you want to tell us about that?
No, I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because when this happened, I really had to go to the bathroom. And during the breaks, the bathroom line was out the door. And not only was the bathroom line out the door, CNN had their cameras pointed at the men's bathroom line. Yes.
What are they doing?
There's a picture of you on Twitter waiting in line for the bathroom there. And then somebody else said they saw me in the last break waiting for the bathroom there. And it was just the CNN live shot. All these, like, famous reporters and D-list internet comedians waiting for the bathroom. And they just had that going the whole time.
Why is that news?
I don't know why that's news. But my point being, that is a two-minute stretch that I missed of her describing getting...
So I'm trying to remember. It was a long day. And as you said, newsflash, and put it on the record, we're tired. But basically, she's headed to a workout class with her, I don't know, year-old or maybe a little over a year-old daughter at the time.
Yeah.
And she says that she's, like, accosted in this parking garage. And basically the threat by this man is not to talk about this story or her life and the life of her daughter is in danger. And then some other things happen. You can interrupt me at any point here, but I'm going to get through some of the details of this.
She
basically sign an NDA. She agrees to sign this NDA that Michael Cohen has put in front of her. That if she talks about this encounter, that she would owe $1 million per infraction. Later, in exchange for the story, there's this long document made up.
And this is all the way in 2016 at this point.
Yeah, the years are passing.
Access Hollywood. And they ask her about the Access Hollywood tape, all that good stuff.
Right. And in the interim, she's said, like, no, this sexual encounter didn't happen. She says because she'd signed this NDA. She was scared of talking about it. So she then signed statements that none of this ever happened. Then there's this long document that becomes the agreement for this hush money payment. And in the agreement is Donald Trump, who's referred to as David Dennison. And Stormy Daniels.
Gentleman David Dennison. Yeah,
he's the most interesting man in the world. And Peggy Peterson is Stormy Daniels. And
Peggy Peterson.
I mean, it's funny that they had decided they wanted alliteration. They were like, let's make them sound like fake names. Who cares?
I keep picturing that Michael Showalter state sketch when he's like a giant blueberry. And he's the bit of the sketch is that he's pitching a show and he's been like a producer. And they're like, well, I don't know. You're more of a producer, right? You're behind the camera. And he's like, I look like a fucking blueberry. I talk like this. I should be on a kid show.
So throughout the next few months, she decides she is going to tell the story leading up to the 2016 election. She decides, at the advice of a lawyer, I think she said it was a lawyer at some point, to tell the story, to get out in front of it. So that she would kind of have the power. Donald Trump was running for president. He would become, if he won, a very powerful person, and that she should tell the story. This lit a fire under Michael Cohen, Trump's fixer lawyer, to create this document that would give Stormy Daniels $130,000 in exchange for not talking about the story. And then what happened? This is like a bombshell. It was lunch. It was lunchtime.
We're just out for lunch now. And after when the judge said we're going to do a recess for lunch, Stormy left the stand. She left. And as she's walking past Trump, Trump is staring directly ahead, not making eye contact, and then turns away from her as to not make eye contact with her, almost like literally giving her the cold shoulder, which I thought was kind of telling, that he wouldn't even like look her in the eye.
Right. I don't know. I was just struck by how, like, kind of almost like light and comfortable she was for a while.
Yeah.
And then when things got serious, it did feel like it had affected her in the moment. And then her demeanor changed a little bit. And then, you know, something that I think...
She was funny at the beginning. Yeah, like, she was, like, funny. Just seemed like, she seemed like she was telling... I mean, to me, it seemed like she was telling the truth about everything. But
I was totally fine having falafel from a cart, but I ended up, they didn't have falafel.
And we knew that we had to get back in there quickly. We didn't want to somehow get left out.
So to quote, it was the old Speaker of the House that we ran into at the airport?
Paul Ryan.
To quote Paul Ryan, we wolfed him down. We wolfed down our sandwiches and...
I got to wolf this down and board a plane in 10 minutes.
All right. One, two, three. All right. That's a good one. One, two, three. That's awesome. One, two, three. I love that. I love that.
And then felt my hands were so greasy and the bathroom, there was a giant line to get in. I couldn't get in there to wash my hands until later. That weighed on me heavily. And the
plus with the camera just pointing at the men's bathroom, it's just not that inviting of a place to be.
No, and no partitions between the urinals. You could see the urinals.
Unbelievable.
You could see the urinals from the hallway.
Right, the door was open. Exactly.
And the door was open. It was always open because there was a line. You could see gentlemen wee-weeing, pee-peeing.
All these men were so gentle, though. We should say that. So many
all these gentlemen.
We came back from lunch, and this actually was high drama. We got back, and...
Oh, this was incredible.
But the other big thing that happened right after lunch was immediately when we sat down, Trump's lawyer got up, and he's very, like, kind of, like, submissive a little bit in how he talks. He's like, Your Honor, the judge...
This is very unfair.
I just can't believe what just happened here. You know, like this testimony from Stormy Daniels and the jury saw this, and I just feel like the bell can't be unrung here. The jury heard all this stuff about her feeling unsafe, and I just felt like it was so unfair, and the bell can't be unrung. He said that three times.
Yeah, the jury can't unhear this.
So it all leads to him saying, and because of this, we are asking for a mistrial. And like, again, it was like, peas and carrots, murmurs. And we got another like, quiet in the court. And he's asking for for a mistrial, which is a huge thing to ask in the middle of a trial.
I just couldn't believe it. Like, is this how it goes? Like, you're just like whining and asking for the entire thing, all of this to be thrown out because of little bits of testimony that you thought were unfair. And it was incredible because he's listing this stuff, and Judge Mershon goes, well, honestly, I was surprised you didn't object more. And that got a huge laugh from the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't like it, you should have objected more.
You should have objected, and we could have, you know, stepped in and whatever. And
at one point, he goes, I even objected at one point when I felt that you should have.
Which may be his grounds for a mistrial if the judge is
having to do the lawyer's job for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Felt like there was going to be a, like, let's make some new ground rules kind of moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Wasn't really. I mean, they just talked for a little bit and then were like, all right, well, we're going to bring back Stormy Daniels, your witness. And Stormy Daniels came back in, and then they brought the jury back in, and the judge apologized for keeping the jury waiting, and it all started up again.
And they had her read this Donald Trump truth aloud.
It was wild.
And here it is. So this is Stormy Daniels reading it herself. Just trying to remind anyone who's watching or listening how wild this all was. The
Stormy Daniels is reading Donald Trump's tweet, his Truth Social post, to the court, to Donald Trump, the man who wrote this to her. And this is what it said.
And this is on his Truth Media site, which he created to do exactly this, to publicly complain about people. And now she's reading it to his face in the courtroom. Anyway,
I did nothing wrong in the, quote, horse face case. I see she showed up in New York today trying to drum up some publicity for herself. I haven't seen or spoken to her since I took a picture with her on a golf course in full golf gear, including a hat, close to 18 years ago. She knows nothing about me other than her con man lawyer, Avenatti, and convicted liar and felon. I think that was a typo.
No, just keep reading. And convicted liar and felon,
right.
Jailbird.
Yeah, she knows nothing about me other than her con man lawyer, Avenatti, and convicted liar and felon, jailbird Michael Cohn, may have schemed up. Never had an affair with her. Just another false acquisition by a sleazebag, capital S, capital B, witch hunt, exclamation point. Just a wild scene watching her, watching her read this.
And, obviously he says false acquisition and means accusation. Just
that
so
got
you
a
know,
laugh too.
Either
Trump,
his mental
whole time
state
is just
or his
staring
or
forward.
Just doesn't know the difference.
Trump's not even paying attention to all this. He's just staring forward while this is all happening.
So this was starting to get a little bit later in the day, and I started to get pretty worried. Are we not going to see any of the cross-examination? Because this was going and going and going. As entertaining as it was, I really wanted to see what cross-examination would feel like. But at some point, the testimony came to an end. That's when we switched over to the cross-examination.
The other thing that struck me when we got back from lunch was that Trump did not look at Stormy Daniels the entire time when the prosecution was asking her questions. But when his lawyer got up there, he started looking at her the whole time because he wanted to, right when she started, like, going after her at the beginning, his lawyer. And I thought it was interesting, like, that he wasn't looking at her at all.
You're saying
and
that Trump focused on his own lawyer?
He focused on Stormy Daniels. He looked at the stand.
How would you describe the feeling immediately as that got started?
Well, I was a little starstruck because I didn't realize that Rhea Perlman working for the Trump defense team. It was amazing seeing Rhea Perlman in the flesh.
It's a lot funnier if you were there and you saw.
It's a lot funnier if you were one of the 80 people who could see what the lawyer looked like, at least on this television screen.
I don't want to mispronounce her name. I believe it's Susan Nichelis or something like that.
It's spelled that, but I believe you pronounce it Rhea Perlman.
Rita Perlman.
Rhea.
But we're going to... Rhea. Rhea?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Rhea Perlman?
Yeah. Rhea Perlman.
All right. I'm going to have to sleep on that. Been saying it wrong for so long, I don't even know. Anyway.
I used to think it was Rosie O'Donnell.
No.
I know.
Yeah.
But don't talk down to me when you
didn't
know.
Did I talk down to you
Perlman
any more than you just did to me?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it's immediately Rhea Perlman is a little bit almost nervous, it seemed like. And Stormy Daniels is so combative right out of the gate.
It turned into a really weird pissing contest between her and Trump's lawyer at the end during cross-examination, which was, everything was so petty.
Everyone was pissing everywhere. It was incredible.
but she was so petty. Like, Stormy, I mean.
Stormy is picking these little battles over little wording here and there. Anything that could be a source of friction is. And it's like slogging through the mud to get through questions. Would you feel that was a good strategy?
Well, I thought it was an interesting strategy, but also just to go on the unintentional comedy of the day. Rhea Perlman also tried to talk about interviews that she did, and she called CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin Jeff Daniels, and twice referred to Gina Rodriguez, Stormy Daniels' talent agent, as Gina Davis.
Gina Davis.
I remember seeing that being like, Gina Davis?
Gina Davis. That's Jeff Daniels.
How deep does this go?
Right. And it was like, how... I know these jobs must be really tough, but I have to say that between the whiny guy asking for a mistrial and this lawyer cross-examining Stormy Daniels, it felt like these were not the people. I don't know enough about their background to say if they're like impressive, but it's like they were not, they did not seem self-assured. They did not seem over-prepared in any way. And all the while, she was definitely trying to get to these like emotional points of like, she wanted to be saying, so you lied. She wanted to be able to get to the point where she could say, so you lied.
Aha!
But she could never get out of the gate because Stormy would kind of pick every little battle she possibly could. But you kind of thought that it might not have been the best strategy, right?
Watching her up there being so combative about every little detail, it made it so she would answer questions with a no that then turned into a yes. And it looked like she was like changing what she was saying
right
on the stand. Because
so the very
her immediate
first
reaction.
Thing, do you remember the first exchange of the cross examination? I'm just remembering this as we're talking about it.
No, go ahead.
She said, Rhea Perlman said, did you rehearse for this cross examination?
Oh, God, this was brutal.
And she said, this was the very beginning. This was the very beginning. The first thing they're talking about. No. And she says, well, you said that you did like grueling mock trial rehearsals for this cross-examination. No. Well, did you say that? Yes, I said that. Well, what were they if they weren't rehearsals? They were practice. Well, what is practice? Practice is just me getting ready for the trial. Well, is that not a rehearsal? No, it's not. Well, why is it not? Because I was just preparing, and that was like 10 minutes. That was the
right out
of the gate.
And what was this sound that you heard over and over again?
Right.
That was me banging my head against the seat in front of me, being like, right. I can't believe we're watching.
Can't
like,
believe this is happening.
This is in the court of law, this
that's
discussion.
That's a perfect example of what
argument.
You're saying, because eventually she had to kind of say, like, well, yeah, I guess it's kind of like a rehearsal or something.
You call practicing something rehearsing, then I guess it's rehearsing. Yeah.
So
like, I don't know who won that. I don't think I won. I think I lost having
to sit through that. We all are stupider for having witnessed it. In keeping with the previous Donald Trump truth, do you want to read this one? You can play Rhea here.
This is a tweet from Stormy Daniels, at Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
I don't owe him shit, and I'll never give that orange turd a dime, laughing emoji.
Now,
That was read in the court of law by Trump's defense attorney with Donald Trump sitting there. And to backtrack for 1 second to the very beginning of this, when this like argument took place, Donald Trump was, for her entire line of questioning from the prosecution, Donald Trump was staring ahead, not looking at Stormy Daniels. That when the defense took over and Rio Perlman was grilling Stormy Daniels.
I love that we're just embracing.
That's it. That's her name now, yeah. Rio Perlman. When Rio Perlman was grilling Stormy Daniels, Trump, like right when she started, Trump started looking at Stormy Daniels, not looking ahead, I guess, at the monitor in front of him. He was looking at Stormy herself, maybe at his lawyer as well, being like, I'm watching this to see how this is going. And in my mind, I was like, maybe I was kind of like trying to write some a story behind all this. Mm-hmm. But that he was like enjoying watching her get grilled on the stand, and he wanted to watch that. But maybe he was just enjoying watching his lawyer do the grilling. But
right.
It was he wasn't staring ahead. He wasn't looking down like he had been for most engaged. Of it. He was more engaged when she was made to feel uncomfortable on the stand.
Right.
And I thought that was like, it has to mean something. It doesn't seem like a good thing to do.
But I want to finish up the testimony kind of built to a moment where Rhea Perlman built up to something where she said, you just wanted, all you wanted to do was extort President Trump. And Stormy Daniels screamed, false!
Yeah.
There was some real courtroom drama.
Which was like totally Trump's like, wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
But, just saying false. It was a...
False.
It was dramatic, I guess. And everyone that we talked to from the media who we knew, was like, wow, you guys picked a good day to be here. It was really dramatic. Yeah. Also, there were some boring moments, and this was the best day to be there. So I don't know what that says. Mm-hmm. I guess we're glad we came this day.
I want the truth.
Why? So you can put it down in your little report? I don't think you're ready.
Do you swear to tell the truth?
You just have to trust me.
You wouldn't lie to me, would you?
No, I need to know. I need to know the truth.
And the truth shall set you free.
See? It's better to tell the truth, even if it is uncomfortable.
DeVrom, let's wrap this up.
Yep.
We were there. We got let out around 4:30 p.m. We left, and we headed down the elevators to beat the crowd, because going down to lunch, we had to wait for three elevators to finally get on one. And we left there. How did you feel afterwards? One word.
Curious. I want to know more.
I'm going to take you to the Church of Scientology then, if you're curious.
All right.
Curious. Okay. I felt hurt from banging my head against the wall by the end of it. I was just like, this is the exact thing I want to get out of the state of the country, of like this combative, like talking through each other.
It was so amazing to see it play out. There obviously it was like frustrating, but to see these like kind of raw moments,
it was
interesting, but I don't want to stop you from getting to the truth.
No, my truth for this, I was glad we made the decision to get up at 4 a.m. and get to the courthouse by 5 and wait in line for 3.5 hours and then
get into an overflow room where we could see the former president of the United States and a woman, porn star, who he's accused of having an affair with, in the same room, reading each other's tweets. There's something beautiful about that, about our legal system.
Something we may never experience again.
But I am worried about the future, and that's the truth. So that's the truth. That's our experience. We're going to have a special bonus episode on Hero Hero about the first witness, which was not as salacious, but equally funny, I would say. So stick around for that if you're on Hero Hero. If you're not on Hero Hero, you can support us for just $5 a month on herohero.co/thegoodliars. You'll be supporting us, helping us go to all these terrible places. We've got some live shows coming up May 23rd in Washington, D.C., June 6th in Nashville, June 25th in Los Angeles, California, and June 26th in San Francisco, California. You can get the tickets at goodliars.com. And before we go, DeVrom, I gotta know, do you have any words of wisdom?
The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. Did you write that?
Helen Keller did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for that, DeVrom. Thank you for hanging out with us on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time.